This is the IBJ podcast for the week of December 10th, 2018. I'm Anthony Shotley. The skies outside are gray, it's freezing cold, there's snow in the air, and we're here talking about bicycles and cycling. I'm here inside the palatial IBJ podcast studio with Karen Haley, executive director of the Indianapolis Cultural Trail, which oversees the Indiana Pacers Bike Share program. And while it seems an odd time to be talking about such outdoor activities, there's some big news regarding the Pacers Bike Share program. For the first time since the Bike Share program began in 2014, it's getting a major expansion. Karen, tell us the particulars. How many bike stations and bikes there are now, and how many there will be added with this expansion?
So we have a $1.2 million grant that we're using to expand the Indiana Pacers Bike Share program in a really big way. We are going to be adding approximately 23 new stations and about 275 new bikes. And I say approximately on both of those because what we're doing is putting our final plan out for public comment. So that could change a little bit one way or the other. But to almost double the size of the Bike Share program is really, really exciting.
So before we talk about the locations of the new Bike Share stations, which I think is really interesting, let's talk about the whys of this. Why is the Bike Share program expanding?
One, we have a grant to do that. So when funding's available with lots of nonprofits, that's when you're able to expand and take on new initiatives. And so that's what we're doing with this 2019 expansion. It's a federal grant that the city obtained for bike share expansion, and we're doing that in a really meaningful way to expand access to the existing station, to provide bikes that are publicly available into the neighborhoods along our city's greenway and bicycle trail network, and to really to provide transportation options, recreation options, and different ways to be able to get out, get from point A to point B, and experience in Indianapolis.
When the Pacers Bike Share program launched in 2014 with 25 stations, the stations were mostly located along the Cultural Trail, a dedicated greenway for bicyclists and pedestrians. This expansion takes a similar approach, with many of the new stations along or near the Monon Trail, the White River Trail, and the Central Canal towpath. Give me a little bit further on how the decision into the locations were made.
Well, when we submitted the grant request several years ago in partnership with the city of Indianapolis, we wanted to use the data that we had available for when we were making that expansion request. And what we know is that people ride bikes when they feel safe, first and foremost, and comfortable with their surroundings. And in Indianapolis, we have 200 square miles and a great greenway system. And the Cultural Trail is the downtown hub of that greenway system, was where we started the bike share program. We've got great ridership for a city our size, and that's because, as you mentioned, we based that system on the Cultural Trail. The Cultural Trail is your guide for the existing footprint of the Pacers Bike Share program. And so when we expand, we wanted to take what we know works well, and that is to stay on that protected, that separated path for bicyclists. And in Indianapolis, that is our greenway system.
And the idea, as I understand it, is to get people and to allow people to be able to ride the bikes farther. So kind of explain the rationale behind that.
Yep, so right now our 29 stations are all in the downtown area on or within a block of the Indianapolis Cultural Trail. And so by expanding the system, you're putting bikes and bike share stations and access to bikes and therefore, again, a transportation option, a healthy transportation option. You're putting that where people are, not just in the downtown area. So a lot of times people who live here, our residents say, oh, I use bike share only when I'm downtown. Well, that makes sense because that's only where the stations are right now. But I would use it if there was one close to my house, or I would use it if there was one where I go on weekends, maybe to Broad Ripple or Garfield Park. And so we're putting these stations and this access to bike share in the areas where we know our residents want to be and where our visitors, actually, we want to get them out and exploring our city as well.
The notion of dockless bike share stations has become more popular and has increased. I know there's a venture of a Purdue University, a couple of grad students, people within the tech sector, and how this works is, not that I'm an expert, but you use your cell phone, essentially your smartphone, to locate a bike. It could be almost anywhere. You essentially use it like you would a scooter or an Uber, and you can go, and you're not tied to a dock. I'm wondering if there's been any discussion among your organization about having a dockless program, or are we going in that direction?
We've definitely discussed it. When we announced our plans for expansion, those are some of the things that we talked to the public about. But at the end of the day, station-based bike share is providing reliable transportation. You can walk out of your building, you can walk out of your home or the grocery store and know that you're going to have a bike available to you in a certain location. I know with dockless technology, you could ride a scooter, you could ride a dockless bike somewhere. park it, go about your business, come back and it's not there, and then you don't have a way to get to where you're going. And so that's what one thing that station-based bike share, like Pacers Bike Share, does. It provides that affordable, but it's also that reliable form of transportation.
For the record, I don't love the new wave of scooters coming into town, but a lot of people do. And I wanted to ask you how that has affected the bike share program.
That's a great question that everyone usually starts off every conversation with me about right now. And it's exciting that Indianapolis, I think, has all of these mobility options for people to choose from. But we're just like every other community with a bike share system. And we have seen a decrease, primarily in our day pass revenue with the scooters and since the scooters have come to town. And that's an important delineation because we've got a great base of annual pass holders, our residents, people who live here, that continue to use bike share as their primary form of transportation, that they've come to depend on that, and that's really their transportation mode of choice.
What are we talking about, Karen, when you talk about a decrease? Are we talking about a single percentage, a 10% dip? What kind of decrease have you guys seen?
Again, and specifically around our day pass revenue, it's around the 20 to 30% range. So,
that's significant.
That
huh?
is pretty significant. And so I think that's why our expansion is really important for us in terms of being innovative, expanding to new parts of the city and providing more access for people to use bikes and bike share specifically as a way to get around town.
Despite the recent mania over the scooters, there is still a great deal of enthusiasm over the bike share program. Officials and business leaders in Broad Ripple said they are enthusiastically waiting the bike share program expansion in their area. So excited are some that a handful of the new stations will be privately funded. Karen, what kind of impact can these bike share programs have on communities?
Our bike share program here has such a great source, is such a great source of pride in the community that we have people who stop in our office to tell us how their ride was. We have people who call us if they see a bike that looks a little bit out of place. Maybe they know the system is built around downtown and they see a bike headed north on the Monon and they say, hey, I just saw a bike, is that all right? Pacers Bike Share has truly built a community here in Indianapolis and will continue to do so as we grow north. We know that bike share stations are a calling card for property owners, for businesses. We've had privately funded stations within our existing plan. The One America building funded a station. Eskenazi Health funded a station at their main campus on the west side of downtown. So it not only is a great amenity to have near a business, but it's also a great amenity to have for your employees to take advantage of.
I was going to say, like Broad Ripple, for instance, let's use that as an example, since that's one of the areas where you're expanding. Do people use the bikes to get to a business? Do employees of those businesses use those bikes to get to and fro? What?
All of the above. I mean, people use bike share in many different ways. I mean, we know that we have annual pass holders who use it just to get out and clear their head in the middle of a stressful day. You feel better, you've got more energy, and it's a great way to just kind of blow off that steam, go out and ride a bike share bike. So we know people use it for commuting. They're going to use it for recreation like they continue to do. And really, I think it'll help drive visitors, too, to these destinations that are outside of downtown by using bike share. So Garfield Park, along the Riverside Park area with the White River Trail is going to be a great way that people can get out of the downtown and experience another area of Indianapolis.
Do you have any data, actual or anecdotal, about increases in business activity where these bike share docking stations are?
I know we have a lot of requests to put them in. And again, I think people know that just as the cultural trail brought people to places in town that didn't necessarily have a large number of people, foot traffic or bike traffic before, bike share stations guarantee that you're going to have people coming in front of and near your business. And I know we have had many conversations specifically with Broad Ripple business owners who are very, very excited to have a station located really close to their business. Same thing with hotels in the downtown area. They love to point their visitors and their hotel guests into the direction, hey, we've got three bike share stations, no matter which entrance you come out into or out of our hotel.
As I understand it, 40% of your revenue comes from annual passes.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the cost of an annual pass?
$80. It is the best deal in town. It gives you unlimited 30-minute trips for a year.
But you also have discounted rates, correct?
We have a program called Everybody Rides, and that's our way to get everybody on a bike, no matter your gender, your size, your ethnicity, your age, or really your income level. And so that's a $10 annual pass, and people are eligible for that if you're eligible for SNAP benefits or HIP. The insurance benefit. We also partner with a lot of service agencies in town, IHA, the Indianapolis Housing Authority for one, Volunteers of America, Partners in Housing, the YMCA Membership for All, are just a few of the service agencies we partner with to make sure that everyone can afford bike share and everyone has access to it.
So it's mind-smoking to me to think that only about 24 people at this point are using the Everybody Rides program. Why do you think that is, and what can be done to increase that number?
I think us expanding the system will be a really big game changer for that. Again, think about when you're going somewhere, we know that our average person will walk a couple blocks to get to a bike share station. And with us being limited to the downtown geography, that doesn't make it easy for everyone to access bike share. And so one of our expansion goals, again, in the confines of the grant, but one of our ones that we're personally proud of, is that we will have a bike share station within about two blocks of most every IHA property in the downtown area.
Was that an intentional design of the expansion?
Yes. Yes.
And how big of a challenge was that? That seems like that's a pretty phenomenal feat to be that close.
Well, like I said, in downtown, I mean, we're not going all countywide with that. But, you know, our city, I think, traditionally has done a very good job of making sure that mixed income housing opportunities are available in some of the densest areas of our town. And so when you think about getting up to 16th Street, when you think about getting to the Near East Side and, again, densifying in the downtown area, it was really easy to find locations that kind of help us meet lots of goals for the expansion program. One of them serving, the people who are in need of affordable transportation, and the other one serving, you know, high density and big destination areas.
So the expansion is $1.2 million. That is beginning to get rolling right away. When do you plan to have the expansion completed?
Mid-year, so summer 2019. And the reason why we're announcing this now, you know, in the dead of winter when it's snowing outside, is we want to make sure we give the public an opportunity for final feedback on our plan. We hosted many public meetings over the summer. We were at farmers markets in different areas of town. We had almost 1,000 points of public feedback that came in through our website, and we had over 1,000 different suggestions for station locations. And so we did our best, we think, to look at what those suggestions were, think about what the goals of the grant were, where the funding parameters were, and how we could achieve some of the things we wanted to achieve with this expansion. And the end result is, you know, what this draft map that we have now. So we want people to give, we want a final chance for people to give their feedback.
So of the 1.2 million, close to a million of that comes from a federal highway, an air quality program, but you also had two private donors kick in, and not a small amount, close to $250,000. Talk to me about those donations and what those mean to the program.
Yep. So with federal grants, a lot of times you have to provide a 20% local match. And so we, as the Cultural Trail and operators of the Bike Share program, have been fundraising to meet that local match for us to make this expansion happen. And so a very generous gift from the Herbert Simon Family Foundation and another donor who wishes to remain anonymous at this time is allowing us to give that 20% local match to expand the program. And that's where I think, you know, the beauty of the public-private partnership nature that Indianapolis is so well known for is really showing itself within Bike Share.
Herb Simon, for those who have been living in a cave, is the owner of the Indiana Pacers. Obviously, the Bike Share program is branded heavily in Pacers gold and blue, gold in particular, if you've seen the bikes. And the Simon family and the Pacers have been a big part of this program. If you hearken back to the early days, then Pacer forward George Hill had a community bike ride on the Bike Share program out in front of Bankers Life Fieldhouse. He was followed by about a half a dozen members of the local media and quite a few members of the public, too. It was pretty neat to see. So tell me about the Pacers' involvement, how they got involved, and why this is such an important program to them and their owner, Herb Simon.
Well, you know, it was a gift that Herb Simon and the Family Foundation wanted to make. And so I think that's an important distinction, it is their Family Foundation's legacy to give back to the community. And, you know, our partnership with the Pacers is just that.
Karen, it's no secret that the city of Indianapolis and moreover the state of Indiana is toward the bottom in any ranking on health and wellness. How does the Bike Share program play into that?
You know, I think we're a big part of that solution. Again, going back to publicly available bicycles, you don't have to own your own. You don't have to know how to maintain it. And they're available for anyone to use 24 hours a day. I think that gets people moving, it gets you healthy, and it really provides that built-in exercise component. I think the Surgeon General recommends 30 minutes a day. Do that on a bike. Do that on a bike, share bike.
How many bikes will be part of the expansion? How many stations will be a part of the expansion?
About 275 new bikes, and they're actually going to be new bikes. So it's a newer model than what we have now. It's a little bit lighter. It's a little bit more ergonomic. It rides very, very nicely. We've had one in our office testing it around for the past few weeks.
Sounds like fun.
It's fun. It's fun to work in a bike share in a cultural trail office. We also are going to add about 23 stations to that. So that'll be our total number of stations to a little bit more than 50, I think around 51, 52 stations. Total number of bikes will be around 525 bikes. So making a huge impact on the number of gold bikes you're going to see around town. And again, bringing public bike share access to neighborhoods that have not yet had bike share in them.
Do you have the bike share program where you want it to be? Is it big enough right now? Does it need to be bigger?
You know, we can always, I think, always add density, and there's always areas of town that want access to bike share. I mean, with over the 1,000 station locations that we had, we really can't bring bike share to everyone right now. I mean, that's we're working within the funds that we have, and we also want to make sure we're working within the operation and what we know works well in terms of access to bicycle infrastructure, greenways, trails, so that people feel safe riding their bikes.
So I'm from the South Side, so naturally I think South Side-centric sometimes, and I'm wondering how far from the city center it is practical to take a bike share program. Could you go, say, as far as Holmcroft, or to the east? Could you go, say, as far as Irvington and points west and north too? How far can you go with the bike share program?
I'd like to think about how those communities are safely connected to downtown or would have a great, safe bicycle network within those actual communities. And I think we'll learn a lot from expanding outside of downtown right now. I think we'll see in Broad Ripple that a lot of the bikes will tend to stay in Broad Ripple, and I think we'll see too down in Garfield Park. I think a lot of the bikes in Garfield Park will stay in the Garfield Park vicinity. Yep, there'll be some commuting back and forth. There'll be some travel back and forth. So I think, you know, let's take what we learn in this expansion and see how we can expand that to those other outlying areas of the community.
And are there other opportunities out there for more federal funding?
I'd like to think so. You know, we work closely in partnership with the city when it comes to federal funding for bike share, and we're putting together a grant application for the next round of the same grant. And surprisingly, it's about 5 years from now. So stay tuned.
You've got more bikes. You've got more stations. Your next task apparently is to get more trails. Is there talk of creating more trails, and what's your role in that?
I'm on several different task force and committees within the city that look at the city's trail network, that look at how can we expand the bike lane network, how we can make our city streets more what are called complete streets, so they're friendly for lots of different types of transportation and abilities. And I know the city's really looking hard at that. I think you're going to see a lot of investment in trails and bicycle infrastructure over the next few years. I mean, we want to think about how can we be a community for everyone. There's a plan right now out called Thrive Indianapolis for the city's resiliency plan. So think about how having multiple modes of safe transportation opportunity really makes us a more resilient city. And also from an attraction and recruitment standpoint, I mean, we know the cultural trail has played a big role in recruiting companies and individuals here to Indianapolis, and specifically in the downtown. And bike share is a part of that. I mean, it's really an expectation when you arrive at a new city that there's lots of different ways to get around, and having bike share is really considered, I think, normal in cities now when you get there. So we're just as competitive with our peers because we have bike share, and ours has been around for 5 years and we're growing, and I think that's important.
That said, do we have to wait 5 years for the program to be expanded again?
I don't think we'll have to wait that long. We have ongoing conversations with several property owners who are interested in adding stations on their property. Specifically, as you think about high density, mixed use properties, bike share, again, really becomes amenity and an attraction tool for them. And think about all the development that's happening on the west side of the river and some of the other, you know, highly focused areas in and around downtown. I think we'll see some stations come on board in the next few years. And then we're also always looking for other philanthropic sources for bike share expansion too. So hopefully it won't be another 5 years before we expand.
Anything else you can think of that we should know about the bike share program?
For more information or to take a look at that map, pacersbikeshare.org, we'll have that information, or you can go to indycultureltrail.org.
Karen, it's been great having you here. Appreciate your time diverting our attention away from the cold, the wind, the ice, and the snow. And if in addition to the story this week's IBJ about the bike share program, this week's IBJ will also have an article about Salesforce Marketing Cloud, its dramatic growth, and a profile of its internationally known but locally less well-known CEO, Bob Stutz.